All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. We're diving into a case today that's pretty crucial when we're talking about landlord-tenant law.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Imperial Colliery Company versus Fute, a 1988 West Virginia case. And this one really dives deep into retaliatory eviction, when tenants can claim it, what landlords can and can't do, all that. So really important stuff for any aspiring lawyers out there.
Absolutely. This one gets cited a lot. It really kind of sets some precedents in motion.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we've got a bunch of sources. You know the usual. We've got some internal guidance. We've got standard and detailed briefs. And of course, we've got the full court opinion from the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals. So we're going to break this down and see what we can learn.
Yeah, and just thinking about it at a high level, retaliatory eviction is there to protect tenants, right? But the devil's in the details with this stuff. What exactly counts as retaliation? What kind of actions are protected? That's what we're going to find out.
Exactly. And I think this case really gets into the weeds with that. So let's start, as always, with the facts of the case. We've got Danny Fout, our tenant. He's a coal miner, and he's renting a trailer lot from Imperial Colliery Company.
Right, and the rent is super important here. It's just $1 a year.
Yeah, I mean, basically nothing, a symbolic rent.
Exactly. And just to clarify, Fout is actually employed by Millburn Colliery, not Imperial Colliery. They're affiliated companies, though.
Right, so there's that connection there.
Yeah, definitely relevant to the case.
Okay, so Fight's a coal miner, and he participates in a labor strike against his employer, Millburn Colliery. Now, after the strike ends, Imperial Colliery decides to evict Fout from that trailer lot.
And here's where things get really interesting. Fout argues that this eviction isn't about anything he did as a tenant. He's pointing to that $1 a year rent. He's saying they're evicting him as retaliation for his union activities, for participating in that strike against Millburn.
Right. He's basically saying, this isn't about my tenancy, it's about my labor activism.
Exactly. And he even takes it a step further and argues that this violates his First Amendment rights, his freedom of speech, freedom of association, and he even throws in the National Labor Relations Act for good measure.
Okay, so lots of legal arguments flying around. What happens next?
So the circuit court initially dismisses Fout's defense. They side with Imperial Colliery, saying that this eviction is legitimate and not retaliatory.
Okay, so Fout loses round one.
Right, but that's not the end of the story. This decision gets appealed all the way up to the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals. And that's where the real meat of the legal analysis happens.
Right. So what are the big issues that the court has to deal with in this case? What are the key questions they need to answer?
Well, the first one is sort of a procedural issue. Can you even bring up a retaliatory eviction defense in a summary eviction proceeding? These proceedings are meant to be quick and efficient, right? So adding a complicated defense like this could really bog things down.
Okay, so that's one. And the second.
The second is really at the heart of the matter. Does the landlord's motive for eviction have to be directly related to the tenancy itself? Does Imperial Colliery have to be retaliating against Fout specifically for something he did as their tenant? Or can they retaliate for something he did in a different context, like in this case, the labor strike against a related company?
Okay, so two big questions that the court needs to grapple with. So, what did they decide?
Well, on the first question, they said yes, retaliatory eviction is a valid defense in summary eviction proceedings in West Virginia. They base this on a specific state law, West Virginia Code Section 553A3G, which explicitly allows for this defense.
Okay, so tenants in West Virginia do have this legal protection.
Right. But then comes the second question, and this is where things get nuanced. The court ruled that the landlord's retaliation has to be in response to a tenant exercising rights that are incidental to the tenancy. In other words, whatever action the tenant took that's supposedly provoking the eviction, it has to be connected to their rights and responsibilities as a tenant under their lease agreement.
Okay, that's where things get tricky, right? Because in this case, Fout's strike was against Millburn, not Imperial Colliery.
Exactly. And the court picks up on that distinction. They say, look, even though participating in a labor strike is a protected activity, it wasn't related to Fout's tenancy with Imperial Colliery. The right to strike is important, but it doesn't automatically trigger the retaliatory eviction defense in every situation.
Okay, so they're really emphasizing the importance of that connection between the tenant's actions and their tenancy.
Right. And the court's reasoning here is really interesting. Justice Miller, who wrote the majority opinion, goes into some detail about how to interpret the word retaliation in this context. They say it can't just be any kind of retaliation. It has to be retaliation for something the tenant did specifically as a tenant. They give examples, you know, like if a tenant reports a safety violation to the authorities or if they demand that the landlord make repairs. These actions are all directly related to the tenant's right to a safe and habitable dwelling, which is a fundamental aspect of a tenancy.
So they're drawing a clear line between actions that are directly related to the tenancy and those that are not.
Right. And they also talk about some policy reasons for taking this more limited view of retaliatory eviction. They're worried that if the defense becomes too broad, it could lead to a flood of litigation in eviction cases, with all sorts of unrelated legal issues getting dragged in.
I can see how that could be a concern.
Oh, yeah.
Keep eviction cases focused on the landlord-tenant relationship.
Exactly. So what does this mean for tenants in West Virginia? What should law students take away from this case?
Well, on the one hand, it's good news. It confirms that tenants do have a legal defense against retaliatory eviction. If a landlord tries to evict you because you reported them for a code violation or because you requested necessary repairs, you have some recourse.
Right. That's a big win for tenants' rights.
But on the other hand, the court is also setting some pretty clear limits on this defense. If a landlord wants to evict you for reasons unrelated to your tenancy, they're probably within their rights to do so, even if those reasons might seem unfair, or even if they involve protected activities in other contexts. It all comes down to that connection to the tenancy.
Yeah, that's a really important takeaway. Let me give you an example just to illustrate the point. Let's say a tenant organizes a rent strike because their landlord refuses to fix the heating system in the middle of winter. That action, organizing the rent strike, is clearly connected to their tenancy. It's about their right to a habitable dwelling. So if the landlord tries to evict them in retaliation for that rent strike, they'd probably have a pretty strong retaliatory eviction defense.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about a different scenario? What if a tenant puts up a political sign in their window and the landlord really hates that sign and wants to evict them because of it?
Well, in that case, it's a little less clear cut. If the sign is just expressing the tenant's political views and has nothing to do with the tenancy itself, then the retaliatory eviction defense probably wouldn't apply. The landlord might not like the sign, but they're not retaliating against the tenant for something they did as a tenant.
Right. So even though putting up a political sign might be a protected activity in general, it doesn't automatically mean the tenant can claim retaliatory eviction if their landlord tries to pick them out because of it.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that West Virginia isn't alone in this. A lot of other states have similar laws and similar court rulings when it comes to retaliatory eviction. There's this widespread effort to balance the need to protect tenants with the need to respect landlords' property rights and also to keep eviction cases from becoming overly complicated.
So let's wrap this up. What are the key takeaways from Imperial Colliery v. Foot?
All right. So first, retaliatory eviction is a valid defense for tenants in West Virginia. But second, and this is crucial, it only applies if the landlord's actions are directly related to something the tenant did as a tenant, something related to their rights and responsibilities under the lease. Fout's case is a perfect example of that limitation. He participated in a labor strike, which is a protected activity, but it wasn't related to his tenancy, so he couldn't claim retaliatory eviction when his landlord tried to evict him.
Great summary. And, you know, for law students especially, this case is a really good example of how courts interpret statutes and apply them to real-world situations. They have to look at the language of the law, the intent behind it, and the potential consequences of different interpretations.
Right, exactly. It's not always black and white. It's about understanding the nuances and the reasoning behind legal decisions.
Well said. And that's Imperial Colliery v. Fout. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.